Blog Talk Radio.
You're listening to the Right Stream Radio Network, rejoicing in the flow of creativity. Be sure to follow us on Twitter at Right Stream and hashtag Right Stream. Thanks for listening to the Right Stream Radio Network.
Welcome to Love, Liberty, and Lip Gloss. I am Lisa Tarvis, my daughter is here, Kristen Fetterman, who is our host, and Daria DiGiovanni is also here with us. Hi, Daria.
Hey, Lisa. Hey, Kristen. Happy New Year, everyone.
Happy New Year. Happy New Year to you. This is our first show of the new year. My first show of the new year. Let's see. Has anybody had a show on the network? I think this must be the first one for the network, right?
Actually, John had a great interview on Monday for Military Monday pertaining to Gettysburg. It was really interesting. So he did a live show on Monday. But as you know, my two last Tuesdays fell on Christmas Eve and New Year's Eve, so I just did replays. So for me, this is the first live show.
This is the first live show, yeah. And Monday was still, we were still in 2013, right? Yeah, we were still in 2013. So,
right.
Yeah, so we're, this is it for 2014. We are opening up 2014 for the Right Stream Network. So that's very, very cool. So I know you're still up in our area, Daria. How's your holiday been?
It's been really nice. It's been a lot of fun to be with family. Very blessed to still have my parents and got to spend time with my brother and sister and siblings, and actually my brothers and sister and my nieces and nephews, I meant to say, and catch up with everybody. And as I was saying before we went on the air, Lisa, I did more cooking and baking in the past 2 weeks than I have the whole year, which was really fun because I've missed, having the freedom to do that. And we do every year on Christmas Eve, we do the traditional seven fish dinner, which I love. It's one of my very favorite Christmas traditions. And my mom hosted it here, and I helped her. And it was a ton of work, but it was so worth it. It was a lot of fun. So, yeah, I had a great time. How about you?
We had a good holiday. It was a lot going on, a lot of family over and things like that. But our family's fairly small, so it's not crazy that way. It's just everything happens at our house, so we're hosting everything, which, that's a lot of work, but
but it's all by choice, let me add.
Yeah, well, I mean, we kind of just make sense. I mean, we kind of have the biggest house, kitchen and all of that, and it just kind of makes sense for us to have it. But then we had a New Year's Eve party. Every year, I swear, we're not having this New Year's Eve party.
And always goes terribly.
It always goes very well. It's just that it...
For like the first hour,
it's
and
just,
then everything
yeah.
goes way downhill.
as the drinking comes into play, yes, it gets a little rowdy. But we had fun. I was up till like 5:30 in the morning. We had guests so late, that
stayed
pretty... Which
means I was up till 5:30 in the morning, too.
Of course. Poor Kristen has to... She's like the mom. She's like the mom when the parties are going on. She's taking care of everybody. So, yeah. So it was really fun though. We had a good time, and I got a guitar which I wanted. My husband bought me a guitar for Christmas which I really wanted, and the girls got me some great awesome. Stuff. Kristen got me a beautiful Buddha statue that I absolutely love. That actually I never even got to tell her I had that marked as something on eBay I was watching, that same exact
really?
One, which was really funny because I was watching it. But it's nice to get the shopping over with, because I'm just exhausted from all the shopping. And not that I go out and shop because I don't go near the mall Christmas time, but I do, I like have a spreadsheet and I count how many gifts. So everybody has the same amount of gifts to open, the kids on Christmas. And even though they're almost, 15, 19 and 20, I still have, they all have the same amount of Christmas presents. So I do that. And then I do, trying to keep track of spending almost the same amount of money. And my dad's in Florida, and his birthday is on Christmas. So, getting that stuff to him and, it's just, there's just a lot, just logistically figuring the stuff out. But I'm always glad when it's done. I love it.
Yeah.
But I'm always glad when it's like, okay, all right, we got 365 days to go, and then we have to do it again.
Yeah, absolutely.
That,
I know. I agree.
But now, wait a minute. Now, I was just thinking about you yesterday when it was snowing, because we're up here on the East Coast. We obviously got nailed with a snowstorm. Anybody who is listening probably has heard that. And I'm wondering what you thought about that. I mean, I know you were up here for a while before, but that was in the summertime. So.
Yeah.
How did you feel about all this snow, Floridian?
Let me just say, if I never saw it again, I'd be very happy. It's just not my thing, and after, God, it's 19 years that I've lived in South Florida, so you really get used to the warm weather and the balmy breezes. And in the wintertime, you know, it's like if it dips below 40 at night, like that's frigid. You know, occasionally it does during the winter months, but yeah, I do not. I don't miss it at all. I truly do not. I mean, I understand there are a lot of people that love it and they enjoy it, but all I could think of was, God, I just hope I don't get snowed in on Monday when I have to fly back. So
yeah,
that was my first thought.
I don't know what they're. I don't know if we're. Are we? I don't even know. Are they planning? Are they calling for more snow?
It's gonna snow on Monday, and the high for I believe tomorrow is like 10 or something, and the low is -2.
Oh God.
Yeah. So I will be inside.
Yes. Sounds like a great day to stay inside in front of the fireplace.
Because I've been inside the past 2 days and it hasn't been that cold yet. So you know where I'll be. Well, I'm very excited to announce that for football fans out there that my brother has gotten tickets for the playoff game tomorrow night. That's been the most another exciting thing is watching the Eagles make it into the playoffs. And I'll be watching from a super box tomorrow night, which is really exciting because if he had gotten tickets and we were outside, I seriously think I would have said thank you, but I'll stay home and watch it from the comfort of mom and dad's living room. So
right.
I'm looking forward to that.
Ah, that's going to be great. I can't wait. We're looking forward to the game. We're supposed to go to the neighbors, one of our friends that's having a get-together for the playoffs. And honestly, I'm not a big sports person, and I know, you know, this was one of the things we were going to talk about tonight because, you know, you have your feelings on it. I'm not really a huge sports fan, but I get very into it once we have one of my teams, like one of the teams, my local teams, like obviously the Eagles.
Or one team that has a nice outfit.
Oh, yeah, I like the outfits. The outfits are important, the uniforms, yeah. And of course, what the players look like, my favorite team is obviously the Eagles, but my second favorite team is the Saints. So tomorrow is going to be a little weird for me because I'm certainly going to root for the Eagles, don't get me wrong, but I've always loved the Saints too. So, you know, it's going to be – but they just had their run at the Super Bowl a few years ago. They won. They're playing the Saints, aren't they? They are playing the Saints, right, Daria?
Yes, they're playing the Saints. And it's just really exciting because the Eagles, you know, they struggled early in the season. They have a new coach, Chip Kelly, this year. And it was just great to see them get their act together and really gel as a team. So although that game against Dallas was a nail-biter the other night, and if they had lost that would have been the end of the season. But they still would have ended with a winning record, which is really great considering a new coach and new players and having to really, you know, get used to each other in the very first season of playing together. So it should be an exciting game. It's going to be a tough game tomorrow night, and we'll see what happens. But I'm just really excited that I have this unexpected opportunity to be there. I grew up just, you know, my mom was always a big sports fan. We had season tickets growing up to the Vet before they knocked it down, and we had free tickets. And when I was, you know, growing up, we would take turns going. And then as the years went by, my mom really hated being out in the cold, so I'd end up going a lot. So I definitely grew up with it. I'm still a girly girl. I love makeup. I love clothes. I love to do my hair and all that fun stuff. And I love dancing and music. But I really do love football. It's my favorite sport to watch. And I'm just really looking forward to it tomorrow night.
Yeah, I like the only thing I've seen live professionally besides baseball, which I've seen, and I personally find baseball to be a little boring to watch.
Which is really boring.
Even live, it's really boring. I don't know why. It's never been, again, if the Phillies make it to the playoffs or something, I'm all in, you know, paying attention and watching the games, but I don't pay any attention
I think baseball is just much quieter than football, and that's why you feel the need to fall asleep all the time.
A company I worked for, I used to get box seats, and I used to take the kids when they were little all the time, and we had catered food and, you know, our own little room and our own little place to watch. It was awesome. But, you know, we would leave halfway through sometimes because everybody was just, like, getting bored. So, but the Flyers, I've seen the Flyers a few play live. I do like live I like watching hockey play live. I that's the only thing. I've never seen football played live. I mean, professional football played live. So, like, you know, I would even sit in the cold, although I don't think tomorrow's cold. It's supposed to be pretty cold tomorrow.
10.
Yeah, that's where you're lucky. You're going to have nice box warm seats.
Yes, I'm really looking forward to that. And I've never been to the new stadium, to the Link. That was built in 2003, 2004, and I've never been there. So I'm looking forward to that too.
Yeah, I haven't been there. I guess the only thing I've been to down there lately would be concerts, I guess, and stuff. And that's what, the Wachovia Center or Citizens Bank Place, or I don't even know.
Well,
I don't know.
Yeah, the Wachovia Center is usually where they have concerts, and Citizens Park is where the Phillies play. I've been there many times, but I do agree with you, girls. I mean, baseball is a much different sport. It's a much slower pace. You can lose like 50 games and still be in playoff contention. It's just a whole different.
Right.
I don't like it as much as football, because what I love about football is it's fast paced, it's frantic, it's hard hitting, and every game really counts. Every loss could come back to haunt you later on, and it's a shorter season, so it's just completely different from baseball.
Yeah, it is. It is faster, and you're right. I mean, one game makes a huge difference. And I honestly, and I have to be really, really honest, I am a girly girl as well. But most of my friends, almost all the girls I know, all the women I know, love football. They love watching football, and they talk football, and they, you know, they're paying attention. And you're tweeting about it all the time, and you always put me in the tweet, and I'm like, wow, the Eagles are playing tonight, really? You know. So if you didn't do that, are you ready for some football, Lisa Jarvis? And I'm like, yeah, crap, they're playing tonight. Kristen, just tell what she just wrote me a note. Tell what you wrote.
I bought a football book so I can learn to understand football. So I get really excited about it, like about all the everything. I don't really know what's going on, but I can pretend to know what's going on. And so I get really excited about it when everybody else gets excited, but I don't actually know what is happening. So I bought this book that
what's it called, Kristen? What's the title of the book?
The Football for Dummies book. So. Which I consider myself to be in that general subject. But I'm hoping that maybe I can learn to understand it, and so I can not be excited for no reason anymore and pretend I know what I'm
doing. Yeah, I think I might have to read that too. I actually do. I mean, I've had people explain to me 1,000 times what's going on, but I think with football you can tell, like even with hockey, when I'm at the game, I can't keep track of the puck. I mean, I'm a little...
That's because hockey is so, like, they just... It's so fast.
Yeah, it's so fast.
Yeah.
Which is, I think, what keeps people excited about hockey. And I think that football is fast-paced, too, but it's probably equally fast-paced, but you can, you know, the ball moves slower. You know, there's, like, you're throwing the ball, and it's not at
just, like,
warp speed.
Hit it really quick, and it's all the way to the other side. Like,
yeah, I mean, it's just so, I don't know. I find it to be... I find hockey to be really enjoyable, and I've gone to a couple of live games in my day. I just was at one actually about 3 weeks ago, and I had a lot of fun. Scott and I went with my son and his friend, and we had we had a really good time. And I'd love to do that again. But football, it's just one of those things. Getting the tickets. Not that easy, you know. It's not that easy, especially for a playoff game. I mean, you really hit the jackpot.
Yeah, I did. It's really tough. And I think, again, because I think it's just, you know, it's a short season, and I just think it's probably the most popular. Baseball, my God, you could get tickets for just about any game throughout the regular season anyway.
Oh, yeah.
Without a problem.
Yeah, you can walk up to the door and buy them at the door, and, you don't have to have them ahead of time or anything like that. And you can do that sometimes for the Flyers, but the Flyers, it's a little different because you want good seats. You know what I mean? Baseball, I don't think it matters where you sit in a baseball game. And that's just my opinion. I mean, I just don't I just don't think it really matters. You know, it's just one of those things where, and maybe this is, maybe there are people out there. By the way, if there's anybody listening that has a comment on this, please call us, 347-945-7246, 347-945-7246, and press 1, and you'll get on the air with us. But I'm just talking about, for me, I'm not a fan of baseball, and it's not that, you know, and it almost feels like un-American to say that. You know, it's like something's wrong with it. How do you not like baseball? And it's not something that I want to actually sit there and watch. I think it's a fun thing to, you know, have on the TV, and while you're when you have people over and everybody's not really paying attention, or, you know, you're switching back between that and something else. You know what I mean? I don't feel a need to watch it every second, you know?
No, and again, it's because it's such a long, drawn-out season, and the nature of the game is you can lose 50, 60 games in a season and still end up in playoff contention. So it doesn't have, like, the same sense of urgency, I guess, that football has. So, I don't know. That's what I love about it. And then, my gosh, we didn't even talk about extra innings. I mean, the game is already long enough to begin with. And then if you happen to be in one that goes into extra innings, you know, you could be there forever. So, but I have to say, my father is a diehard Phillies fan, lives and dies with the Phillies, and does not miss a game during the season. It's kind of fun to watch him.
I think it's funny. Isn't that weird how people just have, like, different opinions about like what sports they love. I mean, to me, it's like, how does there are people that are so into baseball, and I said, how are you? Did your dad play baseball when he was younger?
Yeah, actually, you know, this is a really good story. I mean, think about this. Yes, not only did he play, but my dad, when he was young, was on the fast track. I mean, he was being scouted out by baseball talent scouts, you know, to possibly play for the major leagues. I mean, he was a pitcher, and he was so good that there was actually going to be a viable career for him in baseball until he injured his arm, his shoulder. He dislocated his shoulder. And so because his second love was medicine and he was an excellent student, then he ended up having to work his butt off, you know, to work his way through school and pay for college and medical school. But, you know, that's why he went in that direction. But he was seriously being considered. I mean, so who knows? I mean, things might have been so different. You know, had he been able to pursue that path. But, you know, it's just one of those things where I guess it just wasn't meant to be, but he was certainly, that was his first career goal, was to be a professional baseball player, and he almost reached it.
Yeah, that's funny because that's what I find, like, with most people most of the men I know that are really into baseball usually had some sort of either high school, college, some sort of experience where they played baseball. You know, and a lot of them play baseball still, or play, you know, and even women with softball and things. So, I mean, it seems like there's definitely, if you're into it, it's like it's a big passion, and it's something that you did pretty much as a kid too, you know.
Yeah, absolutely. So
yeah, your dad ended up having a pretty good career, even though he didn't get into baseball. So he can't complain too much, I guess.
No, but it is funny, though, because it's – I guess it's one of the reasons why sports were such a big part of our upbringing, you know, football, baseball, but all of it. I mean, I always – you know, my favorite was always football. Baseball, I would watch it once in a while. I mean, it's like I remember – I was actually at the World Series in 1980 because we had season tickets, and my parents, you know, were able to buy into the playoffs, you know, and all that. And it just happened as we were taking turns, we kids going to the games. I was lucky enough that my night fell on the night that they won the World Series in 1980, so that was pretty cool. So, I mean, I did enjoy that, but, but you know, my mom was just as into it as my dad. Now, she's much more of a football fan than a baseball fan, so
yeah.
It's just kind of interesting how that works. But I just always found it really strange that in our culture, women are presented as people who hate football and hate professional sports. And growing up, I mean, just about every woman I know, now obviously not every single woman, but the majority of women that I know, that I was around, and the majority of women I'm friends with now or related to, love sports in some form or another, whether it's hockey, football, baseball. So I just thought it was a great opportunity tonight to sort of shatter that stereotype, because it's not true. I mean, and especially with football, I mean, I know tons of women who love football.
Right.
So.
Me too. I mean, the it's funny because the other night when the Eagles were playing Dallas, we had that was the night of that family dinner that I was talking about before the show started. And we had everybody, the game wasn't started until I think like 8:30 or something, so we were trying to get out of there so we could get home to watch it. And there were people in my family, we were having bets. I'm like, oh, the Eagles are definitely gonna win. And there were other people in the family like, I don't know, the Cowboys are playing really good, I think they're gonna. So we had like these $2 bets going on, and I won myself I think I won $6 out of that, so I was pretty excited.
Good for you. Oh, my gosh, hey. I was so nervous during that game. I was so sure they were going to blow it. I kept, like, walking away, turning off the TV, turning it back on. Funny.
Yeah, I honestly didn't watch it. By the time I got home, I was so exhausted. I didn't really pay that much attention. It was just a super long night, but I know my husband was watching it, and I was hearing the cheering and the yelling and the craziness, but I know everybody said it was a nail biter.
It really was. I mean, it was, you know, they won 24-22, and it was a nail biter till the very end. But you know, I knew it was going to be a tough game. I mean, it was a divisional game. You know, Dallas has been a longtime rival, as have been the Giants, but and the Washington Redskins. But the NFC East division was kind of bad this year. I mean, it was really only two out of the four teams that were really in contention for anything, and that was the Eagles and the Cowboys. So there was so much riding on this game, and so I knew it was going to be tough. I just didn't think, like, given how well they played the week before against the Bears, I thought, man, if they play like that, they're just going to, you know, they're going to run all over Dallas. And it was one of those nail biters. But again, I think it was more of a psychological thing. It's just that division rivalry, knowing that whoever lost the game was going to go home, and whoever won was going to get the right to go into the playoffs. So
right.
It's exciting. Right. But, you know, I'm a Philadelphia sports fan. I'm used to our teams always making us sweat it out till the end. And I guess it's part of the fun and part of the pathology of being a Philly sports fan. So, hey, listen, you can take the girl out of Philly, as I've been in South Florida all this time. But you can't take the Philly sports out of the girl, I guess. So.
Yeah. Right. I guess that's true. You know, what's funny is when I moved here from Ohio, I'm going to be dating myself here because I'm going to have to tell the year. But we moved here, and it was 1979, I believe. And so the first baseball season we were here, the Phillies went to the World Series. And I remember because it was like 1980. And I remember like thinking, oh my gosh, you know, this is incredible. Because we were in Ohio, there wasn't a baseball. It wasn't a big baseball thing. You know, there wasn't really anybody that we followed too much, even football wise. I mean, we just didn't. It wasn't like here. This, you know, we're real. Everybody's real sports oriented here, and we didn't really have that back then for some reason. Maybe it was just my age. I was a kid, but. You know, I don't know. I just didn't remember that. But I remember being like, "Wow, this is so cool! I live at the, you know, in Philly, and you know, and we just won the World Series." And then I quickly learned the rivalry that has been in existence for, I think, ever. I don't even know when it started, between Philadelphia and the Cowboys, the Eagles and the Cowboys.
Oh, God.
I mean, it's like you get somebody who's a Cowboys fan, and you're like, oh my God, you're dead to me. it's crazy, you know. And there are everywhere. I mean, there are a lot of even around here, there are still a lot of Cowboys fans. You know? Yeah. So I thought that was funny. I was like, I didn't understand at all why, you know, where this rivalry came from, but I know it's there. And it's been there.
Well, it's just because of the division, and since we're all in, you know, and it's the same is true with the New York Giants and the Washington Redskins. And I just remember as a kid suffering through all of these years. I mean, I was pretty young, but, you know, I got into football early and just remember suffering through all these years when the Eagles were horrible. I mean, they'd win like two or three games a season. Dallas, everybody would always beat them, you know, and so it was just, you know, when they finally started to win in the late 70s, I think it was like in 78, 79, it was so exciting. And you know, and they've gone through their peak years and lean years and everything, but it's just a lot of fun. So I'm looking forward to tomorrow night. But Lisa, I wanted to kind of change topics here for a minute, and I know we didn't talk about this before we went on the air, but I'm just curious, and I don't want to call them resolutions. So I just want to ask both of you ladies if either one of you have goals that you would like to pursue and achieve in 2014, and if you want to share any of them on the air.
You know, that's so funny because I was going to turn the subject to the same exact thing, and that's really bizarre. I don't like the idea of resolutions because I think that the whole word resolution is just like, okay, we're just, you know, making a wish list of things we want to change about ourselves, and we're going to fail. You know what I mean? It's just like, it just seems like nobody ever actually accomplishes their New Year's resolution. So I like to just think of it as little, as a new chance to, as a chance to just kind of start over, you know, to start a fresh year, to start a year, you know, out fresh with, you know, with just some new perspectives, you know, things like that. So I do have a few. Kristen, did you make any? Did you do it? She did. You can tell. She's throwing her pen around. She's like, ah, yeah, I did. Go ahead.
Well, okay. I don't really have anything specific. I just kind of want to do, like, little things just to make myself feel better about myself. I mean, just, like eating better or even using a gym membership if I get one. Or
you have one, honey.
Yeah, okay. But I don't know, just like little things to make myself feel better about myself and bring a little more happiness in.
That's a good one. I mean, that's a perfect one. It's not too I don't think that, you know, people do this whole I'm going to define it as I want to lose 20 pounds. And or something like that. And I think you just, I don't know, it just seems like it's a crazy way to approach it. And like Kristen doing her eating better, if she loses an ounce, trust me, she doesn't have it to lose. But she, you know, like just the idea of just being healthier, I mean, that's definitely something that was on my list too, trying to be healthier, eat a little better, as my husband's going to be bringing in my fried pickles any minute now.
Oh.
But eating a little healthier and making some changes, trying to be more positive thinking. You know, for me, I need to walk my talk a little bit, you know. Like, I talk all the big stuff. I talk all the, you know, being positive, and I'm great at yelling at everybody else about what they're how they're not doing, you know, that in their life. But I find myself not doing a lot of that, what I preach. I find myself not following my own advice. So I'm really going to work on that this year. I'm going to take some time off from seeing clients. I'm going to work on another book. I'm going to learn to play the guitar. Yeah, you know, I've got some things planned. So, yeah, so I'm excited. How about you? What'd you do? What are your ideas this year?
You'll like this because I like to think of them as intentions.
Right.
Affirmations, which you do every day. But one of my intentions, and I really buckled down finally today, is to finish my client's book that I'm currently ghostwriting, which you might actually like, Lisa, because it has a lot of spiritual themes to it, a lot of history. I mean, I had to do a ton of research to write it. It's a really cool concept. But it was kind of one of those things where the concept was so big. It's just to distill it into a story and create the characters and put it into an entertaining read that people would understand was the biggest challenge. So, you know, I'm almost done, and, you know, it's gone through a ton of revisions already. The thing with me is I don't know about you, but I don't really follow any particular writing rules. You know how some writers say, well, you need to write the whole thing first, and then you go back into editing mode or whatever. I don't really follow. I kind of go, if the mood strikes me and I feel like editing, then I edit what I've done already.
Right.
And sometimes, in the case with this book, going back and, like, rereading the first two sections, because it's called Steps to Salvation, and it's in three steps, basically, versus chapters, so it's like three big sections. Going back and rereading and editing, like, the two sections I've already written has really helped me to figure out how I'm going to approach the last section of the book. So I guess, like, for me, I don't lock myself into, I guess, traditional writing rules, you know, that a lot of people have, and they tell you, and you know, they tell you how you're supposed to do it. to me, as long as it gets done and you produce something of quality, then do it in a way that works for you. And for me, every process is different. I mean, I wrote my own book in 2008, and that basically wrote itself in like 3 or 4 months. I won't get into that story because I've talked about it before. And then another book that I wrote for a client that I released in November, that was a totally different process because the book was completely different from the one I'm writing now. I mean, every book has its own concept, its own audience, its own targeted audience. You know, whether it's fictional or loosely fictional or completely fictional, the process for me with each one has been completely different. So anyway, I intend to finish this in January and get it published and out there in the first quarter of 2014. So that's really like my biggest intention for 2014.
Yeah, I think that's great. I mean, that's a great goal, and I agree with you on the writing. You know, for me, like, I don't really have a style or a way either. My first book I came up with, and this is probably what I'll do for this book that I'm going to do next. I kind of just came up with a table of contents, you know, kind of thing. Like, these are chapters, loosely defined chapter titles, you know, not really sticking to it. And believe me, they changed. I took stuff out. I added stuff in. You know, it was just like a place to start, like almost having an outline. You know what I mean? And that's how I wrote Just Believe. But when, you know, with this one, you know, I'm not sure. I'm not even positive what direction it's going to go. You know, I definitely am going to do, it's going to be another spiritual-based book. And then I do want to write a fictional series. And you and I have talked about that before. I do really want to get into that maybe later in 2014. I want to kind of write a paranormal fictional series that I'm really excited about. I keep making notes about it and stuff like that, but that will be a whole new ballgame for me, you know, to write fiction. So, I'm really going to focus on writing, I think, this year more than anything. I don't want to spend a lot of time. I'm not going to spend as much time, like, seeing one-on-one clients. I'm still going to see one-on-one clients and all of that, but I'm not going to do it as often. And I think for me, like, getting out of, like, I have to be, and I don't know how it is for you, Daria, but for me, when I'm in writing mode, when I'm in that process, it's an obsession. It's what I'm going to do for, you know, every second of the day, you know, that I'm awake, I'm going to spend it writing. And then if something disrupts that, if I get out of that, and out of that groove, then it could be 3 months before I get back into it again.
Yeah.
That's what I find happens with me anyway.
Yeah, and I thought, you know, with me too, once I complete this book, and then I'll be doing all of his social media and press releases and you know, I'm working on like a local book tour for him to get him out and about, you know, promoting it. And I love, that's another thing. I mean, I love doing all the promotional stuff, the PR, the social media marketing, our radio shows, WriteStream. So I think once I'm done ghostwriting this book, I think this is going to be the last book that I actually write for someone else for a while. Of course, until my client decides it's time to start on the workbook, because this whole thing is going to, this is just the beginning. And there's going to be spin-offs and a curriculum, and it gets pretty involved. But I think, at least for the first half of the year, the book is done, it's out there, it's published, and we focus on really making it a success and getting him out there. I really want to expand WriteStream, and we were talking before the show how we're going to add a technology show. I want to really increase our listenership on this network and really build my social media marketing business as well, because as much as I love writing books, and I do, I love blogging, I love the copywriting aspect, you know, the advertising, the social media aspect, and being on the radio. So books, as you know, just take up so much time and energy.
They do.
So I think that, you know, hopefully this will be, hopefully writing the workbooks will be easy once this is out. I think it will be. I think it will be a whole different ball game than this, which is set in far into the future, and it's a very unique concept. It really is. I mean, this guy that I'm working for is brilliant. And just another point I want to make, it goes to show you that, you know, and look, I have a college education, and I'm certainly not saying that people shouldn't get a college education or higher education if they want it. But what I'm saying is you cannot judge people's intelligence by the degree that they have, because this client of mine is such a go-getter. I mean, he has his own business. He repairs commercial appliances, and he's an electrician and a plumber, basically, and all of his clients are retail clients, and he also owns an automotive shop. I mean, he's amazing. I mean, he's a successful businessman, but he's so deep. I mean, just the experiences that he's had. I mean, he's from Israel. I mean, he served in the IDF. He was in Beirut in 1983, and he's just such a deep thinker that this whole process has been such a learning experience for me. I've learned more from him than I ever learned from any history teacher in school. So that part's been really cool. Yeah,
I think that's great. I think that's great. I think that it's, doing it as a ghostwriting, project has got to be really interesting too. I mean, somebody else's idea and then writing it for them. That can't be easy. It's got to be a lot of one-on-one work with the client, and you basically, I guess, would have to really like each other, you know?
Oh, Lisa, my God, I'm so glad you said that. That is such an important point, because I've had projects, that I've actually turned down, because after meeting with the person, I just had this vibe, like I just didn't really like them, or I didn't really respect what they were doing. And that's why I do a half an hour free consultation with people before I take a project, because you spend way too much time with the person if you're ghostwriting a book for them to not at least have some level of respect for them and what they're trying to do. I mean, you don't have to love the person, but yeah, there needs to be sort of a basic level of, okay, I like this person. I can spend time with this person and enjoy it. Because if that's not there, forget it. The project won't work.
Yeah, I would think that would be really, really true. I mean, I have that even with some of my clients, that I see one-on-one and clients that I work with. It's really hard to, and I kind of adjust my personality to get along with almost anybody. But, I think it's a Gemini trait, something that I've been able to do pretty much my whole life. But I got to tell you, it's not always easy. And working one-on-one with somebody over, a period of time, I would think writing a book, because I talked about you to you about being involved in the series that I want to write, the paranormal series. I've talked to some other people that I know about, writing another type of book. So there's been a lot of different, there's different things, and these are all people that once I approach them on, I know I can work with them. You know what I mean? But you really don't know until you're actually doing it. Because you can know somebody on one level and really not know them on another level, and you have to be very careful that everybody is carrying their weight, or then you get, anger and issues, that come up if somebody feels like, oh, I'm doing all the work and their name's going to be on this, So it can't be easy doing the ghostwriting thing.
Yeah, well, in this particular case with this client, it's actually, I look at it as a privilege, because for him, English is his second language, and he's got such an amazing concept, and he's so smart that, he really, I think it works, because we kind of have this mutual, our needs sort of complement each other. He needs somebody that has a command of the English language that can bring his story to life. And
right.
I'm really learning so much from him and enjoying the whole process of putting this whole thing together. Plus, he and I are on the same page on a lot of things, on our outlook and not everything, which was also part a little bit challenging. But, when you agree with somebody like 80 to 90% of the time, for me, that's perfect. I mean, I don't want to agree with somebody on every little thing. Now, if we were completely at opposite ends, and we were completely at odds over things constantly, then that wouldn't work either, because your heart really goes into your writing, whether it's your book or you're bringing somebody else's concept to life. So if you can't buy into what they're trying to express, it's not going to work.
Yeah, I totally agree. I think that it's like kind of like a marriage. You know what I mean? It's kind of like, you're married to that person for a period of time, and it's like having a spouse. And I think if you agree with somebody 70, 80% of the time, you're doing better than most marriages. So I think that's pretty good.
Yep. Exactly.
The horrible but kind of true. So let's talk about, let's take a commercial break, and then let's talk a little bit about, you know, some other stuff that we have planned for the shows and for the RightStream Network, because we don't have a guest tonight, kind of my bad. And you know, I just want to say that anybody who's listening to the archives, if I booked you or emailed you, like if you emailed me about being on the show and I emailed you back and you haven't heard from me, well, that's because my computer crashed and I was able to back up my files, but I forgot to back up my PST file, which meant I lost everything that was all my email, everything that was in Outlook. So anybody that has been in contact with me about being on any of our shows, but especially on Love, Liberty, and Lip Gloss, or Just Believe, please, you know, email me. Send me an email, lisa@lisatarvis.com, because I am reinventing the wheel here, trying to, you know, get everybody. I keep everything separate from, you know, who I'm, the spreadsheets of who's going to be on what day, but I don't have any of the contact information or details anymore. I was so frustrated. That was so frustrating, but... you know, one of those things, technology sometimes kicks me in the butt, and it did. But I want to talk about what we're planning for the network, what we're planning for the show, who's coming up, who we're going to have on and what we're going to be talking about coming up on all of our shows, really. Really, you know, obviously tonight, Love, Liberty, and Lip Gloss, because it is a woman's show. It is a woman's topic show, for women, about women, and on all women's issues. So, Let's plan to do that when we get back, but let's take a quick commercial break.
Sounds good.
Don't you know that every girl needs a good friend and a glass of wine?
Monday afternoons at 1 o'clock Eastern on the RightStream Radio Network. Tune in to Military Monday with host John D. Gresham, author, military historian, and journalist. John delves into a unique aspect of U.S. military history, as well as current events and issues affecting our men and women in uniform. Featuring exceptional guests, military experts, and authors, Military Monday with John D. Gresham entertains, informs, and encourages listeners to support those who put it all on the line for freedom. Military Monday with John D. Gresham. Monday afternoons at 1 o'clock Eastern on the RightStream Radio Network. Tuesday afternoons at 1 o'clock Eastern on the RightStream Radio Network. Tune in to host Daria Ann for RightStream Tuesday. Daria Ann interviews talented authors in a variety of literary genres, from urban fantasy and historical romance to autobiography and science fiction. RightStream Tuesday celebrates the creativity that flows through every author. It also delves into the all-important publishing and marketing aspects of writing, including the benefits and pitfalls of independent publishing versus traditional publishing, and how to effectively use social media for success. RightStream Tuesday with Daria Ann. Tuesday afternoons at 1 o'clock Eastern on the RightStream Radio Network.
In a moment, cancer changed our lives forever.
We were told nothing could be done to enjoy these final moments together.
But in that moment, when all seemed lost,
St. Jude Children's Research Hospital gave us hope.
Because at this moment, St. Jude Children's Research Hospital is saving lives with pioneering research and care. We're changing the way the world treats childhood cancer by sharing our discoveries with doctors and scientists everywhere.
And we'll never have to pay St. Jude for anything, ever.
At this moment, she wants to be in her own bed.
I want to be back at school with my friends.
I want to be outside playing.
Please take a moment and join St. Jude in finding cures and saving children. Visit stjude.org.
Sunday evenings at 7 o'clock Eastern, tune in to RightStream Radio Network for Just Believe,
with author and metaphysician Lisa Tarvis. Lisa interviews experts in the areas of health and wellness, alternative healing, paranormal phenomena, intuitive guidance, and positive living. With her own inimitable down-to-earth style, Lisa makes both guests and callers welcome and appreciated. Just Believe with Lisa Tarvis, Sunday evenings at 7 o'clock Eastern, 6 Central, here on the Right Stream Radio Network.
Hey, everybody. We're back. Thank you for hanging in there during the commercials. We're here. This is Love, Liberty, and Lip Gloss. I'm Lisa Tarvis, and Daria DiGiovanni is with us, and Kristen Fetterman. And we're talking about, well, lots of stuff, but we wanted to focus especially on we've been focusing on a lot of different things, but we wanted to talk now a little bit about what's coming up for the network, what our plans are, what kind of guests we're looking for, and how we think 2014 is going to start and maybe even end for the radio network. Not that the radio network's ending. I'm saying, you know, how 2014, where we are now, based on, you know, compared to where we feel like we're going to be later on this year. So, Daria, what's going on with the network in general?
Well, Lisa, first of all, I want to thank you for being my inspiration, because one of my other intentions for 2014 was to get better time management procedures in place. And I'm happy to say that I have booked myself for Right Stream Tuesday into April. I can't believe it. So I've got lots of wonderful authors coming up. The next author I'll be interviewing is Patrice Lyle, who has pioneered a new genre, holistic medical suspense. So she's created a book about, basically, you know, it's centered around holistic healing, but it's a suspense novel. It's called Glisten, so I'm very excited to interview her about that, as well as her young adult books that she writes. So I'm just excited. Patrice Lyle is Tuesday. I've got a former CIA operative, Kent Clisby, coming on the show next this month, actually, and just a lot of great fiction writers. D.B. Corey, who is another thriller writer, he'll be joining me on the 14th. And all this information is at my blog, dariadigiovanni.com. But one of the other things, and Lisa, this is really ironic, because we were talking about John Gresham, our Military Monday host, before we went on the air, and while we were broadcasting, John just left me a voicemail message on my phone, so I'm hoping he's calling to tell me that he has located a host for the technology show that we want to start producing this year on the Right Stream Network. John and I had talked about having it broadcast on every Saturday morning, and this is not going to be a help desk type of show. This is going to be a show that talks about technology trends, what's coming up, showcases various experts in different aspects of technology, and we just thought it would be a really great demographic to serve on the network, and again, all with the intention of increasing our listenership in 2014. So I'm very excited about that. So look for a technology show to launch on the network this quarter. I mean, we're definitely going to make that happen. And
yeah,
then that will leave us one day.
Yeah, since we started talking about it, it has really started moving along. I mean, it's like we were talking about it. We decided technology was the way to go. You know, a technology show would be a great balance for the network. And things have been really moving along, plugging along real well. So I'm really looking forward to that. I'm really looking forward to seeing who, I mean, you know, John has some great contacts out there in the world in general. So he, getting him to take the lead on finding somebody to host this show is amazing. One of the other things that I was thinking about for 2014 is, and I haven't even talked to you about this off air, Daria, but I was thinking about getting maybe that we could find an intern or something to do some of the production for the show. You know, it's a lot of work to run the switchboard and run the commercials and all the different things, and for this and the chat room, and, you know, send out stuff about what we're talking about and all that kind of thing. And I thought, you know, there are so many people that are in college needing, you know, credits for this sort of, you know, for producing and things like that. It might be something we might be able to find someone to work with us on. So something to think about too.
That's an excellent idea. Yeah, you know, and people, some of the people in the chat room have their own radio shows, so I know they're going to relate to this next thing that I'm going to say. But it's not even just doing the radio show. I mean, it's all the preliminary stuff, you know, booking the guests, writing the blog post, creating the events in Facebook, you know, promoting it on Twitter and all of the social media platforms constantly, and building the Twitter accounts. And, you know, it does. It gets really crazy.
Yeah, and it's like, for me, I know, like, I'm really into my guests. When I have a guest on the show, whether it's on LLL or whether it's on Just Believe, I like to listen to what they're saying, and I like to really have questions that come up because of where the conversation is going. And it's really hard to stay completely focused on your guest when you've got all these other production things that you need to do, you know, at the time the show's going on. So, you know, I think it would really help to improve the network and you know, the network in general, really, if we did something like that. So anyone interested in doing any kind of, you know, internship producing for our any of our shows or all of our shows, let me know. Lisa@LisaTarvis.com. Happy to start looking at that.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm looking forward to that. The other thing that I'm planning for 2014 is our anniversary show, which will be the first week in March, because we actually launched RightStream Radio, I believe it was March 3rd of 2013,
I think so.
You let off the lineup with Just Believe on Sundays. And I just, you know, I just want to say, and I wrote this in a blog post recently, but I just want to thank you and John, because when I approached both of you about this, I mean, there was no hesitation. You were both just like, yeah, let's do it. You know, I want to be a part of this. And so, and you especially, Lisa, in the last several months, I mean, you and I have really put our heads together and have really made a concerted effort to start marketing the network better and creating Love, Liberty, and Lip Gloss. And you came up with the idea for a technology show. And so I'm just really excited for all of what we've accomplished and what we're going to accomplish in 2014. And so I'm planning my first RightStream Tuesday show in March, to host you and John and, of course, Dr. Billy and Sheena, who are the hosts of Family Power Hour on Wednesday nights, and whoever ends up being our technology host on Saturdays. I'm going to do like a little anniversary show the first Tuesday of March to kind of give everybody an opportunity to talk about themselves and what their plans are with their respective shows on the network and where we go from here.
Yeah, great idea. I like that. When you sent that email out, you know, talking to everybody about planning that, you know, planning to do that show. I think that's a great, great idea. I mean, going from the people that started, you, me, and John, to the people that have just come on, Kristen and whoever we get for the technology show, you know, even just, you know, having even that, maybe that'll be a great way to introduce the newer host to the audience in general, which really, you know, comes from your show.
Yeah, I think it'll be a great way to kind of help everybody grow their listenership. And, of course, you know, and a lot of people ask me, well, why did you create, you know, why did you put Family Power Hour on Wednesday nights? You know, because it's a call-in show and it's hosted by a licensed clinical psychologist and a family law attorney, and neither one of them have written a book, but they do bring people on the show that have written books. But I just felt it was important to kind of, again, it's all about reaching as many different demographics as we can. And I just love the idea of having a call-in show where people talk about ways that they've dealt with various life challenges to inspire other people and just share information. So, you know, when we started, I know you and I was kind of like, okay, everybody who hosts the show has to be an author. And I kind of, you know, as we grew as a network, I sort of rethought that and said, you know, well, people can bring people on who've written books on certain topics, but we really need to appeal to different listeners. So,
agreed.
It's been a lot of fun.
Yeah, I can just see, you know, so many things opening up, so many doors and so many opportunities opening up, and there, you know, so many people in different genres, different areas, you know, their expertise in different areas. and their contacts, you know, all bring something that can teach, you know, some people and some of our listeners, what, no matter what, you know, you may come on to, you may come to the network because you're into the military, and you may start listening to John's show, and then you might hear about my show on spirituality and think, wow, I have some interest there too. And you know, so there's a lot that can happen.
Mm-hmm.
I think
crossover, baby.
Right. It's all about crossover. So I think that's going to be, really good. It's going to be really good. I can't wait to see where we are, you know, doing our first show that we do on, you know, 2015, you know, to looking back at the year and seeing where it's going, because this is going to be a big year, I think, for the RightStream Network.
I agree. And, you know, and on that note, I want to remind everyone listening, too, if they want to find out more about us and the network, they can go to rightstreamradio.com. And Lisa's website to learn more about Lisa is lisatarvez.com. And, of course, my website is dariadigiovanni.com. So I just want to let people know to check us out.
There's on the RightStream Network, there's a page on each show, and there's a page on each one of our hosts. So there's a lot of great information there, and there's links to following us on Facebook and Twitter and LinkedIn and Pinterest, and I think that's it. I don't even know.
That's enough.
I know.
We can handle right now.
Yeah, keeping up with just those. I mean, I've got three websites or three Facebook pages alone, you know, for one for my book, one for my business, and one for my personal, you know, account. So it's like, you know, just keeping up with that alone is a full time job.
Yep, sure is.
So, anything else we want to cover tonight? We really, you know, again, this show tonight was kind of just like us getting together and talking about what's coming up, what we're going to be doing on Sunday. Just Believe, I'm going to be having a guy by the name of Michael Bates on. Hopefully, since I lost all his email stuff, I think I've tracked him down. But anyway, he's a psychic. He's going to be doing online or on the air reading. So anybody who wants a psychic reading from a new person that I'm having, a new psychic that I'm having on the show, can call in live on Sunday night at 7 o'clock and get a reading. So that'll be cool. I'll be sending out lots of information in the next few hours and next 24 hours, I would say. Kristen's choking on some water right now, so she's trying to cover her face as she's like hacking into a blanket. So, you know, I'll be sending out lots of information on who Michael Mapes is and about, you know, how people can call in and get a free psychic reading on the air on Sunday, 7, Just Believe. You're right.
Excellent.
Your eyes are watering. Kristen takes a sip of water and all of a sudden she's down for the count.
And I'll be sure to take pictures in the skybox tomorrow night at the Eagles game. And hopefully, by the time you broadcast Just Believe, we will have had an Eagles victory and they'll be moving ahead in the playoffs.
Oh, my gosh. I hope so. I really do hope so. It's been, you know, they've been so close. And I'm just so, you know, so many times. And I just hope so. They deserve it. They've been working real hard.
They do.
Definitely deserve it. They definitely deserve it. And we deserve it as their fans.
Absolutely. Well,
Go ahead.
No, I said hopefully they'll earn a victory and the right to move ahead, and that would be really cool. And but I'll definitely tune in to Just Believe Sunday night at 7 p.m. And just remind everyone that John will broadcast Military Monday, this coming Monday at 1 p.m. Eastern, and I'll be interviewing author Patrice Lyle on Tuesday at 1 p.m. Eastern. And then Wednesday night at 7 p.m., Family Power Hour, we'll start broadcasting live shows again. So
Absolutely. And you know what, just on a final note is all these shows are very different. We all have our own expertise and our own thing going on, but there's something interesting about each show. So anybody that's listening, Love, Liberty, and Lip Gloss is definitely going to be, you know, it's a show that's focused, it's a new show that's focused on women and women's issues and, you know, from relationships and dating and stuff like that all the way to makeup and hairstyles. And we're going to have a lot of fun going forward in 2014 with Love, Liberty, and Lip Gloss. And that's what this show is going to be about. So everybody tuning in tonight, even though we're not really focused on that tonight, I think that, you know, just keep in mind that this is going to be all about bonding, you know, women getting together, having some time to talk women stuff. And we're really encouraging people calling in and making comments, and giving their opinions on the different subjects that we're going to be covering coming up here over the next few weeks and months and hopefully years and years to come. And I think everybody's blending very well together, and we're all supporting each other really well, each of the hosts for each of the shows. And and make sure you go on to rightstreamradio.com and check out everybody's what everybody's doing. Get the links. If you go to each individual person's page, you can then get their links to follow them on Facebook or Twitter, you know, based on your interests, what you're into. Follow everybody. Everybody's pretty good at social media. I really am enjoying Dr. Billy and Sheena Benjamin Wise. Their show, Family Power Hour on Wednesdays, are our second newest show besides this one. They're covering a lot of really important topics on families and the family dynamics of, you know, divorce and blending families and just so many different topics that that come into play when you're in a family, which pretty much all of us are. So it's a really fascinating show too. Everybody's got some great stuff going on. So I just wanted to say that and pay attention, because everybody, you know, just stay tuned. There's going to be, we've taken the last couple of weeks and, you know, over the holidays, and we've been playing some reruns, and we've been kind of, not advertising as much as we normally do, but 2014 is now here upon us. The holidays are over. Personally, up here on the East Coast, we're pretty much snowed in, so we don't have anything else to do but drive everybody crazy with our social media. Daria will be flying back to Florida, where she'll be in the sunshine again. But the rest of us are going to be snowed in, I think, for a few more days. So, there's going to be lots coming up, and my focus is going to be really the radio network, the radio shows that I'm part of, the network as a whole, and writing, and writing my next book. So that's going to be my focus over the next few months. You know, so I just, so everybody just, like I said, check out rightstreamradio.com, like Daria mentioned earlier, and you also gave all of our websites. Kristen doesn't have one yet. You going to do that, Keek?
I have nothing to put on a website. So
that's New Year's intention.
Yeah, she's so funny, because she doesn't think that she has anything to really put on a website. And I'm like, she's got so much going on. She's one of the most together human beings I know. And I mean this. She's 19 years old. She's my daughter. And yeah, okay, I'm a bit biased. I admit that. But she's managing, I don't know how she does it. I don't have the energy to watch her do what she does. So I can't imagine actually doing it. You know, full-time student, working practically full-time, you know, paying her own way, paying her own bills. Thank God she still hasn't moved out yet, because I'll be lost when she does. But
it's coming. Don't worry.
Yeah, I know. She keeps threatening, but hopefully she'll stick around for a little while longer. But she's into so many different things. She's an incredible artist. She's an incredible musician. She's got so many different interests, and she's a friggin' rock star in school and college too. I mean, she's doing great. So. She just has to figure it out. She'll have a website up before long. Her mommy will make her do it, right, Kiki? Kiki, that's her nickname. That's what her mommy calls her, Kiki. I'm her mommy. She's like, this is why I don't let you around my friends, Mom. So I think that's all we've got for tonight. Dari, unless you can think of something else.
No, I just want to wish everyone a happy, healthy, and prosperous new year. And thanks for listening tonight. Sort of a spontaneous kind of impromptu broadcast, but I had a lot of fun. And it's a good way to test your ability to host a show is when you don't really have anything formally planned. And I got to tell you, I mean, it was so funny. I totally forgot all about the show because I was so focused on writing today.
Right.
And I saw your email or something come up. I'm like, oh, my gosh, I have to co-host tonight. So
yeah,
I was just thinking
we were going to play a rerun or something. I said something to Kristen. I'm like, we don't have a guest scheduled. I don't have anybody scheduled. I had somebody scheduled, but then they never confirmed with me. So I ended up having the night it opened. So I'm thinking, do you want to like run another commercial or another rerun? She's like, no, I think we should do something live this time. And then I sent that email out to you. Well, actually, before I talked to Kristen, I had already sent the email. And Kristen's like, so she gave me her opinion, and you're like, yeah, let's just do something. Let's just, you know, do an impromptu show. So we did, and it was fun. It's always fun. It's always fun. So
Yeah,
we always have a good time. So lots coming up. Everybody stay tuned for lots of interesting developments and incredible guests and, you know, on all of our shows. And it looks like and don't forget about that, anybody that's out there that's taking some sort of college courses, that if you need credits for, you know, working for a production, for, you know, a radio network, we are definitely I think that would be a big help to us, and it certainly helps those people in college that need those credits. So anybody that's interested in that, just let me know. You can always, like I said, check us out on rightstreamradio.com. Anybody interested in being on any of the shows, I am happy if you want just one email address to talk to. I will pass it off to whichever host is appropriate. Just send me an email, lisa@lisatarvis.com. Doesn't get much easier than that, lisa@lisatarvis.com. And let me know about, you know, anything, anybody who wants to be on any of the shows or my shows or anybody's shows, and anybody who's interested in the production side of things, because that's what we'd like to be able to pull off here in the next few months. I think that's probably it, right?
Thanks, ladies. Yeah, everyone have a great weekend. Go Eagles. Happy New Year. And we'll see you back here for Just Believe on Sunday at 7 p.m. Eastern.
All right. Talk to you guys later. And thanks, everybody, for listening. It's been a lovely show, and it's nice to be back on the air again.
Sure is.
All right. Bye, everyone. Thanks for listening.